coming up on sports and stuff, I get you all caught up with the late season NFL action as I'll recap week 14 in the NFL. Also, what am I doing for the holidays this season? I can answer that in one word. Nothing! I'm staying home, but I'll talk about all my holiday plans I got coming up this year, and hopefully we'll get to hear yours as well later on. All this and plenty more coming up on Sports and Stuff presented on EPRN and all of our other many media platforms, sponsored by Magic City Highlight. You're listening to EPRN. I'm John Meisner, host of Sports and Stuff. Listen in to my podcasts and all of the podcasts on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Download and bookmark the EPRN app. Go to app.eprn.us and you can always tune in at www.eprn.us. We want to welcome you to Sports and Stuff, boys and girls. I'm John Meisner, your host. We're happy to have you here on Sports and Stuff. You're listening to EPRN or wherever you're listening, whether it's our app, the EPRN app, or my personal app. Hopefully you're enjoying the holiday season. It's been definitely been a strange, crazy year for sure. Definitely not the normal holiday season we're experiencing with not a lot of shopping in the malls. A lot of Amazon purchases and whatnot online, but hopefully you're all staying safe and getting your holiday shopping done. And so as we begin the show here this week, we'll start with some football, because that's currently the only sport going on. Boy, I cannot wait till basketball starts in a week or so. It's gonna really help me out here. It'll give me more stuff to talk about here. Starting with Week 14 in the NFL, the Thursday night game, which took place between the Patriots and the Los Angeles Rams, let's just say it didn't exactly go as planned for New England. They had a short week of practice. They played twice in a week, just having played the week before on Sunday. They played the Rams right after they blow out the Chargers, so you figure that, you know, they'd be ready to go. Well, Bill Belichick and his squad weren't exactly prepared on offense, and their defense wasn't as good as it could have been against Jared Goff. They didn't come in prepared. They did nothing more than kick a lousy field goal and lose 24-3 in what was a huge game for the Patriots, because they were rolling coming into that game. They had just gotten to 6-6 the Sunday before against the Chargers, and they lose a really bad game to the Rams 24-3. They're now 6-7. The Rams are definitely a playoff team. They're definitely going to make it somehow in the top seven the way it is this year. But so here are the other scores for this week. The Titans beat the Jaguars 31-10. Titans are definitely going to get at least a wild card the way they're going. Buccaneers over the Vikings 26-14. I'm looking at my fours and sixes mixed up there. 26-14. The Vikings. That's what you get when you combine the Buccaneers and the Vikings. Yeah, the Vikings. The Buccaneers, I meant to say, moved to 8-5. They're trying to battle for playoff positioning in their division with the Saints. And so are the Vikings. They're trying to get a wild card spot as well. The one I had my eyes focused on the most on Sunday was the Chiefs and the Dolphins, because for a couple reasons. For one thing, it's Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and they're like the best team in football. And also because of the Dolphins. In order for the Patriots to have any chance of making the playoffs, which at this point is very slim, they have to expect a lot of teams ahead of them in the standings to lose. And the Dolphins are one of those teams. They did lose, so I was, as a Patriots fan, I was happy about that. The Chiefs beat the Dolphins 33-27. Didn't start out pretty for Mahomes. He threw a couple of interceptions. He hasn't thrown a lot of them this year, but he threw two of them against the Dolphins. But being that he's a champion, he's a proven winner, he did not panic. That team just kept playing their game, and they should have really blown out the Dolphins at the end, but his second interception caused the Dolphins to get back into the game, and they almost did come back. They made it a ball game at the end, but the Chiefs held on to win 33-27. They're 12-1 this year. My goodness. The only loss they've had all year long was really to the Oakland Raiders in their division, which makes sense. Their divisional opponent. But other than that, they've beaten everybody else. Can you believe that? As long as they don't face the Raiders in the playoffs, they're the favorite. They're definitely the favorite to come out of the AFC and go to the Super Bowl. Either them or the Steelers. So the other scores, we have the Broncos and the Panthers. Broncos beat the Panthers 32-27 by 5 points. The Bears over the Texans 36-7. Arizona Cardinals beat the Giants 26-7. A lot of one-sided games here. The Cowboys beat the Bengals 30-7. Let's see, the Colts over the Raiders. Now that was a potential playoff preview. 44-27 was the final in that one. Colts are now 9-4, I believe. Yeah, Philip Rivers has had a nice year for Indy. He's done a nice job there this year. Seahawks crushed the Jets. Boy, I knew this one was going to be one-sided. The Jets just suck this year. 40-3 was the final in that one. Seahawks are another good team in the NFC. NFC's got a few good ones out there. Packers beat the Lions 31-24. They punched their ticket to the playoffs. They clinched that division. So good for Green Bay. Chargers knock out the Falcons. The Falcons are mathematically eliminated. They beat them 20-17, so they recovered nicely after getting blown out by New England last week. Washington beats the San Francisco 49ers 23-15. Can you believe the Washington Redskins are actually leading the NFC East? I did not think I'd be saying that right now in the middle of December, but they are. They are actually in the leading that division. But I like to think of that division as the NFC Least, not the NFC East. Seriously, whoever wins that division, they're not going far in the playoffs. Just forget it. I don't even care about that division. I mean... Washington's been playing good football lately. I hear they got a good defense, but I couldn't tell you many players on that team from a hole in the wall. I just don't know anybody on that team, and I'm not sure a lot of other people do either unless you follow the team closely. Anyway, they've been playing well lately. Eagles beat the Saints. Now, this was an upset. Eagles win 24-21. Saints go down to 10-3, but they're still having a great year regardless. Despite Drew Brees not being healthy, despite him having some rib injuries, they're definitely one of the top contenders in the NFC. If you're asking me, it's gonna be either the Packers or the Saints that end up as the top seed, in my opinion. I say the Packers end up with the top seed. I'll say the Saints get the number two seed, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Saints lose in the playoffs because, I mean, unless Drew Brees, you know, gives it his all, I don't see the Saints going far. I don't think their depth in the quarterback position is enough to get him out of the NFC. It's either Drew Brees gives them a chance or they're just not going to go far. That's just how I feel. That's my opinion. And then the last game on Sunday was the Sunday night game between the Steelers and the Bills. And the Bills upset the Steelers 26-15. Steelers lose for the second week in a row after starting off 11-0. And boy, this is the Steelers have been making a lot of noise this year in the AFC East. I think this is their year to win the division. I think all the years of the Patriots winning the division is pretty much over for at least this year. But boy, Josh Allen has improved very nicely in his first couple years. Got a great defense, a great running game around him. Continues to improve his accuracy. That team is going to be good for a long time. Let me tell you, they are destined to go on a Patriots-like dynasty, I think. Maybe not the Super Bowl wins, necessarily, but definitely a very good playoff contender, for sure. Then the Monday night game is going to be between the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns. Baltimore's trying to get in to the playoffs, that like the Patriots are. Cleveland's probably going to get a wild card spot. I think they're going to be one of the three wild cards this year. I'll be rooting for Cleveland personally, just to hope that the Patriots win out and expect the teams like the Ravens to lose. But yeah, Baltimore's trying to pretty much try everything they can to get in. But getting back to the Patriots here for a minute, you know, I mean, I don't want to make excuses for New England. I mean, they had a short week of practice. I understand that. But still, you know, it's very, very seldom you see a Bill Belichick-coached team not very well prepared for a football game. It's very rare. I am personally not a fan of Thursday Night Football in general. I don't think that it's necessary, and I don't think it's really a good way to bring in money. I mean, the league already has billions and billions of dollars. What do they need any more for on Thursday night? It's not a good night of the week for football. It's a better night of the week for other primetime TV shows, but But I mean, it's ridiculous. They say too much of anything is bad. I think that it's not a good product. It doesn't make the league look good because they always have bad teams. they always get the bad teams going up against each other. And not that I'm saying the Patriots are bad, but just in general. I know when they do the primetime games, they're going off of teams' records from the year before. Typically, teams are not consistent year to year unless you're like the Steelers or the Patriots or the Packers or the Saints or something like that. Most teams are not typically good year to year. There's a lot of up and down. So one team could be great one year and then just suck the next year. And then on the other hand, a team could be terrible the year before and then be good the next year, but they're not on primetime TV because they weren't good the year before. So it's just, it's not perfect the way they do primetime scheduling. You just don't know from year to year, but my point is, I don't think Thursday night's the best night for a primetime game. It's unnecessary. I mean, it's too much saturation of football during the week. I say just make it Sunday and Monday. No Thursday night. Get rid of the Thursday night. They don't need Thursday. You just keep weekends for football. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Saturday, you got college football. Sunday and Monday, you got all the Sunday games, and then Monday, you got Monday night football. Because it's been around a long time. You know, but there was a speculation, you know, years ago when they started Monday Night Football that it wouldn't be a good idea because, you know, people have work the next day. Well, if you designate it on the day right after all the Sunday games, it actually makes it kind of a big deal. And it's usually, you know, two pretty good teams. It's the way it used to be covered, I think, is a little better than it is now. ESPN is, I mean, they've gone to the point since Mike Tirico left to go to NBC. They just pretty much alternate announcers. Seems like every, you know, couple of years. I think Steve Levy does it now, but whatever. The point is it'll never be as good as it used to be on ABC, you know. And I know I'm sounding like an old guy here, but I mean, I remember the days of growing up as a kid when it was toward the end of the Al Michaels, John Madden era. And before that you had, you know, Howard Cosell, of course. Yeah, speaking of Al Michaels, he actually got inducted into the Baseball Broadcasters Hall of Fame, which is interesting because I think of him as more of a football announcer, but he did do some baseball games years and years ago. He actually did the Monday, I think it was like Sunday Night Baseball or Monday Night Baseball Game of the Week for ABC. I think it was one of those two. He did that and did a very nice job at it as well. But football is what he's most notorious for. I mean, just love his New York accent. The ball's loose at the 40-yard line. You know, he's a good guy, you know, playing a good football game. You know, the pass is, you know, from down the 20-yard line or something like that. And then, you know, him and then Howard Cosell. Who could forget Howard Cosell? He could go all the way. It's a very interesting situation here. We got a barn burner of a game here at Lambeau Field. It's more like Regis, but then it does Howard or Al Michaels. But whatever, he was great. He was him and, you know, Frank Gifford all those years. Outstanding. Yeah. Yeah, the chemistry in the broadcast booth was great during those years. But anyway, I'm kind of, you know, getting a little off track here. But still, you know, like I said, congratulations to Al Michaels. Got a nice award, baseball award. I think it's the Ford C. Frick Award for outstanding baseball broadcasting in his career. So hats off to him. But I was getting back to the Thursday night game here. You know, it's just, I don't know what the contract looks like for the CBA for football, but I'll just say, if they, you know, when the day comes when they get rid of that, assuming if they ever get rid of it, I will not be disappointed. It does not add any excitement to my week. I do not look forward to it, even if the Patriots are playing. I mean, it's the people have work the next day. I mean, you already have the Monday night game. What do you need a Thursday night game for? Come on. I mean, Sunday night football has already pretty much taken over the attention of as the game of the week, which Monday night football used to be, but now it's shifted to Sunday night. So yeah, you don't need a Thursday night game. You don't need three nights of the week dedicated to football. Two is enough. Heck, even one is enough if you want to just make it a Sunday night game. But yeah, they don't need Thursday night game. I mean, if I were Roger Goodell, I'd cut the Thursday night game. I mean, come on. Is it really making the league that much more money? I don't think so. It's just, it's a joke. No more Thursday night football. Come on. next year and some years from now, just get rid of it. Please. Do we really need it? I mean, NFL Network just broadcasts all the crappy teams anyway, and I don't really care about it. It's all about money. Money, money, money. as they sang in a song a long time ago. Anyway, before we continue on with the show, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more sports and stuff in just a couple minutes. We'll talk some holiday stuff here on the show and get you caught up in some other things that happened this week. More sports and stuff after these words.
You've got to plug into EPRN. We've got the conversation, we've got the sports team, and our music and entertainment team brings podcasting to extremely new heights.
Listen in to EPRN.us. Press the app button on the site and download the EPRN app now. You'll be listening to shows in no time. Take us on the go with you. Our app is accessible on all mobile devices and tablets, or you can just go to EPRN.us.
Your listening is worth your time.
Spend your time listening to an independently owned media network.
Tell a friend and listen in.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, EPRN.
Proud sponsor of sports and stuff, Harold's Ice Cream has over 400 original flavors to select from. Best of all, Harold's is kosher certified, no moo or artificial ingredients. Harold's also makes ice cream cakes with real cake centers, and they also ship their frozen treats to customers. Harold's Ice Cream makes treats like frozen yogurt, sherbet, brownies, cookies, pies, and cakes. Harold's does it all to satisfy that sweet, healthy treat craving. They cater events for 70 people or more, and they ship their kosher treats by mail. Call Harold's Ice Cream today at 413-586-9700 and visit harolds.com.
We are back here with more sports and stuff. I'm John Meisner. You're listening to EPRN and all of our other many media platforms out there. Hope you're all getting your holiday shopping done. I will admit at the time I'm recording this, I actually haven't really started yet, but I probably will after I'm done recording, personally. So anyway, as we move along here, I want to thank our sponsor real quick, Magic City Highlights, very proud to partner with this year in 2020. And their highlight season's over with, so won't be having any recaps for a little while now, but they'll still sponsor us, as they always do. So as we move along here, you know, one thing I do want to talk about, actually, that I was going to talk about, you know, I think if I haven't mentioned it already, I'll reiterate it again, because I haven't even been thinking about this lately until now, which is one thing I put on our Sports and Stuff community group page a couple months ago, and if you've already heard me talk about this, you can just fast forward several seconds or a couple minutes, but one thing I wanted to mention was the Saved by the Bell revival, which you can now see on Peacock, starring John Michael Higgins as the principal, and Mark Paul Gosselaar returns as Zach Morris. Funny show. I wouldn't say it's anywhere nearly as good as the original Saved by the Bell, but it's not bad. You know, it's a decent revival, a decent little continuation. But I will say about revivals in general is that a lot of them try too hard to be different or entertaining by doing things their own way, and it just doesn't work. Just stick to the original. Stick to what made it successful. Don't try to change too much. I mean, expressions, you know, the old saying says, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If you don't try to fix something, or I mean, I should say, if you do try to fix something that's not broken, then it's broken. So just, yeah, that's what they've done with this revival. You know, the thing with this current revival, which you can see on Peacock, by the way, they got the first 10 episodes up of the new revival. You know, it's just corny. It's like, there's just too much, like, real ridiculous, silly jokes and unnecessarily humor that's just too forced. The interaction between the characters isn't always the funniest. I mean, I sound like it's bad, but it's not. It's actually, you know, I think it's kind of funny, but I mean, they tried to change the theme song to a rap. I don't even know who sang it, honestly. I don't even care, because I don't listen to rap, but it sounds terrible. And it's gotten a fair amount of flack from people because I think they said one of the characters that played, I forget what her name was, she's a blonde girl, but I think they said they were a transgender. Now, I don't have an issue with it because I'm entirely open to people of all genders and races and ethnicities, but it's gotten people to kind of question the motive of the show. They keep asking, like, why'd they have a transgender character? Why'd they do... Well, I don't know. In a way, it does kind of open the Pandora's box, so to speak, into issues that people don't like to talk about. Like, you know, like politics. I mean, Zach Morris is a politician, so it addresses something that makes people feel uncomfortable with already, to begin with. And then it also does not, you know, so much heads-on, but it was briefly mentioned about, you know, one of the characters being a transgender. You know, people don't like to think of that stuff when they watch TV. Okay, they watch TV to get away from that stuff, and then here it comes. Two social issues right on the... Like, come on. You know, like, whatever happened in the good old days? I know, I'm starting like an old geezer here, but really, whatever happened to, like, the fun, innocent days where you didn't worry about that stuff on TV? Now it's, like, everywhere. Just ridiculous. It's crazy, man. Just... I don't know. I mean, I wasn't thinking much about it when I watched it. It was really more like seeing other people's opinions on social media. I mean, basically my opinion is they tried too hard and it didn't come out as good as I thought it would. Screech wasn't on it because the cast doesn't like him after he said. Mr. Belding wasn't on it because the actor that played him's in really poor health, so he's pretty much not going to be on the show at all. The actress that played Lisa made a brief cameo, but in a homecoming episode they did, but that was about it. But basically, I'd probably about a C plus or somewhere in the C range. I am a little disappointed by it. I mean, I'll watch it as long as it's on, because I like revivals of shows, but. I mean, none of them, most of them just don't turn out anywhere as good as the original. And, you know, generally speaking. You know, reminds me of an episode we did of this show where Matthew Klickstein was on, for those that are regular listeners, and, you know, he talked about it too. You know, even he doesn't watch revivals because he doesn't want one of his favorite shows to be ruined. He doesn't want to end up hating it. I mean, I don't blame him. You know, at least, if anything, it does, you know, bring back memories of the old show, old Saved by the Bell, but it's not the same. The original was innocent and fun and, you know, made high school life seem really awesome, even though it's kind of not, but at least it was a fun show. This is just, the humor is just way too forced. It's just not natural. It's just, it's like a different show now. But I will say that I do like the main character. I'm blanking on her name. I don't know the Puerto Rican girl. Whatever her name. I don't have it in front of me. But for those that have watched it, you know who I'm talking about. She's very good. I like her. She's probably one of the few bright spots of the show. Honestly, it's kind of like a shell of itself. For those that haven't seen it, basically, I'll just give a quick rundown of what the plot is. Zach Morris, who was the main character on the original, he becomes a politician. For the state of California, becomes the governor, and one of his major decisions he makes is budget cuts for the schools. So he takes all these kids that were in basically like a poorly run, poverty level school to Bayside, where the original Saved by the Bell was, that high school. Combines all the inner city kids with the rich kids, and it's just, I will say, it is a little funny in a way, just seeing like regular kids from poor backgrounds interacting with rich kids. That actually is like a funny enough to an extent, but other than that, the show just it's not the best revival, honestly. But I like that element. I like the Puerto Rican girl, but other than that, it's not the same. Yeah, they have Zach Morris's kid, Mac, who's like pretty much a Zach Morris clone. He's just like his dad. He's like the schemer. But it's like, it's funny just seeing like kids that try to solve anything in, you know, in less than a half hour, because that's television. And then these inner city kids, like, how do you do that? Like, what is that? Like, we don't do that where we come from. it's kind of funny that way. But other than that, I'd say it's about average. You know, it's worth watching, but it's not something you're going to go crazy over. But anyway, that's the latest in terms of classic TV revivals, Saved by the Bell. But just, you know, my point, like I said earlier, it's amazing how many of these shows and movies try to be just too different. They try to make it, like, bigger and better than ever, and it really isn't anything that as good as I want it to be. You know, I like game shows, as some of you may know, and, you know, one of the better revivals of game shows in recent years was Double Dare, because it kept to the original. It didn't try to change anything. You know, they updated the set and the music, but that's about it, and a female host, and Liza Koshy, but other than that, it was the same old Double Dare. You know, they didn't try to change anything, they just modernized it and updated the stunts and the physical challenges. And the questions were updated too, but still, it was an updated version of an old classic. They didn't try to change anything. I don't see why Saved by the Bell had to continue with something that just really doesn't sit well or settle well with other people. I don't know. That's just how I feel about it. You know, people are gonna have their opinions on how they would have liked to maybe bring back the show or their ideas of a cast or plot, but I don't know. I'll continue watching it, but again, not something I'm going to go head over heels over. So I'd say on a grade, I would give it a C. But that's just me. So anyway, I digress. That was my Saved by the Bell rant there for the week. with that, I think we'll take another break. Come back on a lighter note. We'll talk some holiday stuff, get you in the holiday spirit here. Christmas less than 2 weeks away, and got a lot of stuff to say about Christmas this year and the times we're living in. We'll be back with some Christmas talk here on Sports and Stuff. Stay with us.
MVMT is the affordable brand for men's and women's watches. Go to MVMTwatches.com and browse through the bestseller collection, all of the watches, sunglasses, wristband straps, and watch-related accessories. It's not surprising that MVMT offers free shipping worldwide to their customers. Sign up for the newsletter at MVMTwatches.com, read the MVMT brand story, and get caught up on the brand. Premium design at a fair price.
Welcome back to Sports and Stuff. John Meiser here with you, listening to EPRN. And, you know, on a personal note, not that this matters much to our, you know, listening audience, but I actually did kind of improve my recording quality this week and from here on out. You may or may not notice a slight difference. I have a pop filter actually in front of my microphone, so when I say the letter P or T, it kind of deadens it to make it sound better. So, yay me for getting a pop filter. Yeah, I'm pursuing recording voiceovers, as some may know, so that's why it's trying to improve my little home studio as best I can. And getting a pop filter is one of them. A lot of recording artists use it that sing, so makes them sound better. It sounds better for people like me who are podcast hosts. So, yeah, congratulations, John. Yay. So anyway, that's just, so if you notice a slight difference, that's where it is. It's my pop filter. So anyway, let's talk some holidays here. I haven't personally started my Christmas shopping. I'm probably going to start as soon as I'm done recording the show for the week, but wherever you are out there, hopefully you've got what you needed. I've always kind of been a last minute shopper, not like last minute, like Christmas Eve, but I always like to start, you know, after Thanksgiving, you know, beginning of December, mid December, because I'm in the holiday spirit. You know, I'm thinking of getting people stuff. It's good that people get it out of the way early. Some do, but I'm just not thinking of doing it in months in advance. I'm thinking of doing it when the holidays are actually going on. I've always kind of been a little bit of a procrastinator. Runs in my family. But that's just me. Shopping's going to be easy this year. I won't have to go to the... I mean, I'm still going to actually have to end up going to the mall, but a lot of what I'm getting is really on Amazon. So, it's convenient. Very convenient. You know, a lot of packages being shipped out this time of year. But speaking of the holidays, you know, I have to talk about some of my favorite holiday movies and TV shows this time of year. I love watching all the classics, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, Charlie Brown Christmas, you know, I haven't seen It's a Wonderful Life or Miracle on 34th Street yet this year, but, you know, A Christmas Story, a lot of people love A Christmas Story, you know, with Ralphie shooting the BB gun and all that. The kid gets his tongue stuck to a telephone pole, and I double dog dare you, I triple dog dare you, you know. It's that may have possibly been the inspiration for Double Dare, was maybe that just that line in that movie. You know, I was talking about that earlier, but you know, it's amazing how, like, some people think of that as like the greatest Christmas movie of all time. I don't think it's the greatest Christmas movie of all time. I mean, I think it's a cult classic, but I wouldn't say it's, you know, the best ever made. Definitely outside the box and unique, but you know, entertaining for sure. It's locking on me. Why is? But if you're asking me, I think one of the best holiday movies of all time is probably either It's a Wonderful Life or Miracle on 34th Street, you know, with Jimmy Stewart. Classic. I had a friend who was actually in a radio play. It's kind of cool. It was actually a radio version of It's a Wonderful radio plays they used to do in the 40s and 50s. He did it a couple years ago. It was actually really fun seeing all the people playing different parts and doing the jingles from back in the day, little commercials, little radio spots. It was fun. It was a good time. Good. He's actually been on the show before, actually. Samson Zilek. He's also an actor. So he's done some acting. But still, you know, I was watching some holiday movies this past week, you know, the point where he's on the phone with his neighbor who's eating, you know, baking his cookies. He's like, put the cookies down! Put the cookies down now! I just like the way he says that. And the part with, like, where he's with Sinbad and he's, like, fighting over the Turbo Man. They go on the radio station and cause havoc. It's just crazy. And then they fight each other at the end in the parade. Oh, it's good stuff. And the neighbor that Phil Hartman plays that tries to hit on Schwarzenegger's wife. He was kind of creepy, but funny. He just had that really, that really cheesy kind of radio voice. Like, hey, how you doing, everybody? I'm Phil Hartman. I'm on TV, and I kind of sound like Wink Martindale or like a game show host. Like, he just had that really phony voice. It's good for, like, acting, but it's probably not how he looks like in real life. Or maybe it does. I don't know. But, he passed away too soon, you know, Phil Hartman. Very, very funny guy on SNL. So that was a good movie. And, you know, Santa Claus, of course, and with Tim Allen is a good one. What other good holiday movies are there? I'm trying to... Oh, The Grinch. Gotta watch The Grinch soon. Jim Carrey does a good job. Very funny. Wrong-o. He's a good physical comedy guy. The Grinch. Yeah, very flamboyant. And, you know, one thing I used to watch as a kid that I don't think a lot of people probably are familiar with, but maybe this is just me and my family, but maybe some of you may have heard of it. There was a company that produced a lot of kids' videos called We Sing. Yeah, it was basically kids' sing-along videos. And they did a Christmas one called The Best Christmas Ever, which is probably one of the cheesiest, like, things you'd ever want to watch for Christmas. If you ever find, if you're looking up on YouTube, if you don't have the video, check it out. It's really, really corny. I may actually post it on our community group page if you want to take a look at it. If you've never seen it before, it's like the worst Christmas thing ever. It's just, I mean, I know they call it the best Christmas ever. It's really more like the worst Christmas ever, or the cheesiest Christmas ever, but it's just kids sing-along stuff. The family doesn't look anything like each other. It's very, very poorly acted by people that aren't really famous that did all these kid videos for We Sing. It's the production quality isn't the greatest and the acting's not the greatest, but it's funny to watch. It's funny to make fun of every year. Kind of a tradition in my household. I'll post it actually on our community group page. So if you haven't been on there in a while, there hasn't been a whole lot going on in sports until basketball resumes in about another week or so. So check that out, Sports and Stuff community group page. I'll post that. I'm actually going to post the best Christmas ever. I'll give you an idea of what kind of cheesy stuff I grew up watching as a kid. Not exactly traditional, but in my family it is. So there you go. Best Christmas ever. We sing. Check it out. You can either watch on our community group page or you can check it out on YouTube at some point. So there you go. So on that note, you know, I think we're going to call it a show for this week because we just don't have a whole lot going on in sports right now or entertainment. I mean, other than the vaccine, you know, coming out for the coronavirus, which I won't spend a whole lot of time talking about. I'm just really glad they came out with it. I'm just going to end it on this note by saying thank you very much for listening. I hope you're enjoying your holiday season and getting all your Christmas shopping done, spending time with family in a safe way, of course. So on that note, thank you very much for listening, everybody, to our show this week. If you want to check out past shows or our past archive episodes, you could always go onto our Sports and Stuff page on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. We got all our past shows up on there. We also have extra content on our app, the Sports and Stuff app, on SuperPass. So it's our British company that came out with our app. You can always download that. Of course, you can always hit up EPRN. You always listen to any of our other good stuff we have on there. So, on that note, want to thank you very much for listening this week, everybody. I really appreciate it. Appreciate you bearing with me despite not being a lot of sports. You know, it's been a crazy year this year, of course. But there will, and I can guarantee you, basketball's coming back. Hockey should be back. One last thing before I end it. I just remembered. The league is proposing a possible shortened hockey season, 6 games. It has not been finalized. I meant to post it on our community group page, so I will soon. But there will be hockey possibly by January. It's again not official, but it looks pretty promising. So we got basketball coming up close to Christmas time, and then hockey will follow shortly thereafter. And then, of course, you got football in the playoffs. So they will be coming back, I can guarantee you that. So it won't be just me trying to fill time. That will be exciting. Have some more sports to come back towards, hopefully to get towards the holiday season. So that's so I thought I'd end the show on that note. And so now I will officially close out the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening this week. You've been listening to Sports and Stuff on EPRN, Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Check out our community group page for more content, and you can always hit us up on our app, as well as our other media outlets. Take care, everybody. Stay safe. Happy holidays out there, and join us next week for our Christmas Spectacular, if you want to call it that, on Sports and Stuff. It'll be our big holiday show as we get close to Christmas. Take care, everybody. Stay safe.